Well, my thought tonight is, was it worth it? You ever had things that you questioned whether it was worth it or not? Well, it happens to me a lot. I'm not naturally a patient person, so it can happen just about any day where, you know, it may be as simple as me going to change my shoes. And if I have to look too far hard for them, it ain't worth it. I just figure that it ain't worth all that. We go to Monterey, a small town close to us over in Virginia. Every year they have a maple festival over there, and they have these real good maple donuts, and they're sought after. I mean, people come from a long ways around to get these maple glazed donuts. And they're pretty good, but when I get there and the line's 100 yards long, I mean, I like the donuts well enough, but the 100 yard long makes the donuts not worth it to me. They're worth it to them people. Then if I get the donuts and it's too late at night when I eat them, then I have another question to whether it was really worth that or not, because then I got the feeling, well, and you run into this question a lot, I think, with things that we do, decisions, choices that you make in life. You'll end up buying something. I'm sure most of us here has probably bought something that we thought we couldn't live without, or something that would be useful to us. And when we got it, and after a while at it, we had to say, if I could take it back, I'd take it back, because it wasn't worth it. I didn't get out of it what I thought that I would get out of it. So it's the decisions, many of the decisions that we make in life is like that. When we get to the end, we wonder whether or not it was really worth it, what we put into it, the amount of effort we put in it, or the amount of money we put into it, or whatever it might be. We wonder if it was worth it or not. I was probably 22 years old. I wasn't saved, running in the world, those kind of things. I used to play rugby. I was on a rugby team. And I was at a away game playing rugby, and I met this young man. He was about my age, somewhere along that lines. And he was on he had these braces on his legs, and he had help with canes, you know how it is. And he barely could go. And I got to talking with him and, you know, asking him what about his condition and what happened to him. And he told me that he was riding a motorcycle in a Coke truck, I believe it was, run a red light, and there was a crash, and he was damaged for life. And he said that he got a settlement out of it for $300,000. This is roughly in the early 80s, so the settlement was $300,000 that he got out of the accident. And I was saying that, I said to him that, well, you know, that's a lot of money, but it can hardly buy your abilities back. It can't buy what you lost. Oh, he said, oh no. He said, I took that money and I went to California. He said, I just got back. Went and bought me a sports car, and he said, I've been out there for 3 years. He said, I had the time of my life with that money. And I said, it was worth it? And he said, yeah, it was worth it. It shocked me, because I was young and able, and you couldn't have bought my ability. There was not enough money to buy that. I would have not sold it for any price, and yet he looked and said it was worth it. And I don't know if the man would have said that all of his life or not, because his life was obviously shortened much by what he went through and all those kind of things. But people look at those kind of things a lot of times in this world and look and say that it's worth it. Isn't our world saying that it's worth it? They're running after the things of the world and going and getting these things and saying, "This it's worth it? All of this is worth it? I'm getting a lot out of this. There is pleasure in sin for a season," the Bible says, and this looks like the best way to live life, and we make those decisions. But I'm here to tell you that it doesn't always work out that way. I got a little illustration here, if you can see it. my crude illustration, it wasn't much better than that. That is a anti-drug campaign thing that they had out. And it shows this little creature, this little thing comes along, and it runs into this very shiny substance there, and it looks at him, and it looks at it, and ponders it, and walks around it, and sniffs it, and pays some attention to it, and doesn't know what it is. And in a little bit, the creature ingests it, and it immediately there's this dreamy like music plays, and it starts a floating and doing these little spirals into the air, and life is carefree, and all of us want to get all of our troubles, and we want euphoria, and we want to be happy, and so we reach out for the things, and it kind of spirals around, and then it comes down to a landing, and it's over, and he's back to the ground, and he goes walking on his way, and he runs into the substance again, but this time he knows what the substance is, so there's no hesitation. He takes the substance in, but this time it's not a loop, it's just kind of an up into the air with a little music that's not quite so dreamy, and he comes back down, and this time he's kind of a stumbling fall when he gets back down, and then the next time he's actually picks up the pace to hurry to get to the next one, and he gets to the next substance, and he takes the substance in, and this time he goes about straight up in the air and a little bit, and he comes down with a crash, and then he takes off running. He's running for the next one, running hard for the next one. He gets to the next one, and he takes the next one, and he goes up into the air a little bit, but this time it's a total crash to the ground, and what he ends up with at the end of it is this creature at the end of it with a totally destroyed and corrupted life, damaged beyond repair, not able to do anything else. All of those things are gone, and the question would have to be, was it worth it? There was a time, there was a moment there that it probably was the best thing ever experienced. There was probably nothing like it. It fulfilled. This is it. This is it. I remember reading, this was in the news, it was a situation with a 15-year-old girl. And the girl had been abused, and they was finding out how she got to the place that she in, because she had got to this place on the end, 15 years old, totally addicted. And they wanted to know how they got there. And so they looked into this girl's situation, and she ran into this opportunity to do this, and she said the first time that she ever did cocaine, the first time that she ever did it, she said to herself, I want to live here. Her life, her home life was abusive and horrible. There was no love in it. There was nothing good about her home life, nothing that gave her any hope or anything in it. And when she found this little bit of euphoria, this little bit of something that would bring her out of that. She didn't have to live in this place where she was nothing. She didn't have to live unloved. She didn't have to live. This, she could live in this place of, she said, I become addicted the very first time. And I said to myself, I'm going to live there as much as I can live there. I will live there. And she spent the rest of her time doing whatever she had to do to live in this place. And I thought of that and thought, was it worth it? At the end, is it really worth it? My heart goes out to it because I know there's something, I know that there's something to lift up that doesn't leave you crashed. There's something that can take you from this position here. There's something that can lift you back up out of that and get you back to the other place. Something that's really valuable. Is the decisions that we're making, are they worth it? Is it really worth it to turn the Lord down? Is it really worth it to take your own way? I think about sometimes about marriages and situations like that. Selfishness is always a bad thing. It's something we have to deal with because I have a self. I take care of the self. I make it feel good. If something hurts, I rub it. We're all in that kind of a place, and you take care of it, and you want your way, and you do that kind of stuff, but you have to ask your question. The question is that where is this going to take me if I pursue this path? Where is it going to take me, and is it going to be worth it when I get through? What is it really going to be? Well, I want to start with a scripture in Ecclesiastes, familiar scripture. Solomon, I believe, says here in the second chapter, I said in my heart, go to now, I will prove thee with mirth. Therefore, enjoy pleasure, and behold, this also is vanity. I said of laughter, it is mad, and of mirth, what doeth it? I sought in my heart to give myself unto wine, yet acquaint mine heart with wisdom, and lay hold on folly till I might see what was that good for the sons of men, which they said, or they should do under the heaven all the days of their life. I made me great works. I built me houses. I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards. I planted trees in them of all kind of fruits. I made me pools of water to water wherewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. I got me servants and maidens. And had servants born in my house. Also, I had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I gathered me also silver and gold, peculiar treasures of kings and of province. I got me men singers and women singers, and the delight of the sons of men as musical instruments, and that of all sorts. So I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also, my wisdom remained with me. And whatsoever my eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor. And this was my portion of all my labor. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do. And behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit. And there was no profit under the sun. So if I might say in the spirit of the meeting of this message, Solomon, was it worth it? You obviously spent a good portion of the only life you had of gathering and gaining. And there had to be some sort of, as the brother said tonight, there has to be an organization to do these things. There has to be plans. There has to be a desire put forth. There has to be things put in it. He looked at it, longed for it, desired it. I'm going to listen tonight. Get me these singers tonight. I want that band. Tomorrow night, do this. I mean, give me all of these things in the process of what? Like you live life once, make the best of it. Do all that you can do. Reach out and do everything that it can do. There's a lot of good things in this world to do that the Lord's not pleased with. But he was saying there, I did things that was legal. I did things that was lawful. I did all of these things. But my wisdom stayed with me enough to be able to, at the end of it, discern it all. My wisdom stayed with me till I could see the effects of what I've done. And when I got through doing, for a lesson for all of us, I'd done more than you'll ever do. I had more money than you can ever do. I had more gold, more silver, more maidservants. I had vineyards. If you like nature, I had ponds, I had lakes, I had woods, I had trees. I had all of these things. I've gathered me all that was ever before or after. I've done it all of that. And when I looked at it all, I said, there's nothing good about it. It's empty. It's hollow. It never benefited me. And so I think if you could say to Solomon, was it worth it? He would say, no, it wasn't. I should have spent my time on something else other than all that, because at the end of that, it was not worth it. It did not bring anything that was lasting and fulfilling and all of that. At the end of it, I have to proclaim it out that it's nothing valuable about that. So I have to look through the time of the scriptures and look at it all and wonder about these people. There was way back there, Adam and Eve, what do you think about it? Do you think that their marriage life, their relationship was better before the fall or after? What would be the common consensus? What do you think? Would it be better before or better after? I think after there was things like, Lord, the woman that you gave me. I think after that it was things that was contentious about it. Things like, I wouldn't marry you if you're the... Well, I can't say that. You're the only one. I wouldn't marry if you're the only man on earth. Well, it's a good thing you're the only woman, because look what you got us into. I don't know that it was that way. But you can look at sin and tell that there's something... Something happened in there that one generation away, Eve, one generation away, that son that you bore, the son that you held close, the son that you loved, because we know that what's put in us and the past and the demand. One, you know, she lost both sons. One was banished and the other one died. She lost both of them. And yet, if you could say, Eve tonight, Adam tonight, was it worth it? You did gain. I mean, you did gain understanding. Before you only understood good. Now you understand evil. You understand what it does. You did learn some things. But was it worth it? Did you really get out of it what you really wanted to get out of it? David with the fling with Bathsheba. Yeah, there's a pleasure for sin in this season. But David, it cost you integrity. It cost you honor. It took the psalmist, the one with the sling, the reputation for the man of God. He had a high reputation, didn't he? He had a reputation that God was with him and anointed him and blessed him. And you can depend on David. And Saul's killed his 1,000, but David his 10,000. And he had done all those things. And now it comes out into the open. And now David, oh, you think it was just, take human nature. You know people was talking. You know there was a lot of black marks. Who's David to sing anything? Who's David to say anything? God may forgive you, but don't mean people will. David, was it really worth it? When the prophet comes and the great psalmist, the one that took down the giant, the one that had killed his 10,000s, and the one that did it, was that fling worth it, David? Was it really worth it to do what you done? I think he would say, no. It wasn't worth it. And he explains a little of his repentance in the 51st Psalm. My sin is always before me. I will have to pack this all the rest of my life. And I'm going to pack this because I was wrong. But was it really worth it? Lord, help us tonight. You know, decisions a lot of times don't manifest in a day or a week. Sometimes months. You know, decisions can be a long, long ways off. There have been, and this is not for any discouragement for anybody that's in this place. Always the best thing that you can do after anything is turn to the Lord for the help. For God can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. But I have heard so many people that have said to me that I have a number of children that's not saved. Because I didn't live for God when they was growing up. I didn't teach them anything. And now I've turned to the Lord in my older years and I have such regrets. I have such regrets for the years that I didn't, because I have children that knew nothing of the Lord. And I taught them the things of the world and I taught them how to do all these things. But they come away with nothing. And there's a heartache in that. And yet I have to say, was those years worth it? And you know, I've at the altar many times in places of prayer, I've had people confide in me. It wasn't worth it. It wasn't worth it for what I had to pay. I'm paying too much to see my children off in these situations, so deep in sin and away from God. I paid too much. It wasn't worth it to do this. Lord, help us. Over in Matthew, the 16th chapter. Very familiar scripture. The 25th verse of the 16th chapter of Matthew. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? That's a question. What would a man give in exchange for his soul? But it's asked almost, I think, in the idea of the terms that I think the only way to get the real understanding it is for the Lord to give us a vision into the afterworld, to realize what it's going to be like to have lost our never dying soul, to be alive, but never alive, but to be in a continual state of death. To be in a place like that, then this question can be asked with the fullness. Now that you're here, what would you give now? Because you obviously wouldn't give it when you had the other things. But now that you see the fullness of this life here, this place that you're in, what would you give in exchange for your soul? What do you think the answer might be to a question like that? Well, I think the question would be, I think the answer would be, everything I've got. Whatever it takes is what I'd give in exchange for my soul now. Now the pretty things, the pretty shiny things, the things that seem like they're so valuable, the positions I have to hold because I'm going to stand up for my rights. I'm going to hold my position. I would gladly give my position up for my soul. I will gladly humble myself. If I have to humble myself and take the fall, I'll do it now for my soul. I would do anything. I'd give up the pretty things. I'll give up the world. I'll give up the money. I'll give up the prestige. I'll give up anything. What would a man give in exchange for his soul? We have so many examples in the world around us. Does not wisdom cry? 8th Proverbs, is it not standing in the street shouting? Isn't wisdom hollering always? Can't you see what people have done? Whether you look and say, wow, what a life it must be to be one of these celebrities where everybody, you know, you have all these things and people look and do all these things. Do you know what a miserable life that must be? Really? What it is? To keep up an image that's not really you? To act like you're something that you're really not? You say, well, Brother Marty, but they have all this money and all this prestige and picture time and all of that. It's vain. It's empty. There's nothing in it. It leaves them crushed. How many at wisdom is crying? Oh, no, hardly nobody in history more famous and more successful than Elvis Presley. Right there was Elvis Presley at the end of his life. He never flew high. He didn't get anything. He ended up crashing and burning at the end of his life. He had all the things he wanted. If he wanted money, if he wanted cars, he had cars, all kind of cars. He could do what he wanted and say what he wanted and go where he wanted. He had all the companionship he wanted. He could buy what he wanted. He'd done anything, and he looked like that at the end of his life. Wisdom cries. That's not valuable. Oh, I wonder if you could say to Elvis Presley tonight, Elvis, was it worth it? Was it worth it? You had years under the sun. You made your movies. You sung your songs. You was a high flying guy. You done all these things. Is it worth it? Was it worth it to do that with your life? I think the answer would come resounding. No, it wasn't worth it. There was nothing good about it. I left nothing good. Left nothing. Lord help us, because we make decisions on smaller scales maybe, but we make decisions all the time about what we're going to do with our life. The thing about it is it worth it? Is it really worth it for me to go down the years of playing church? Is it really worth it, me going the years of my life not being serious with God? Is it really worth it? Do I really get the advantage of these things, of holding my position and standing where? Do I really get those? Is it worth it to do it? Well, it's a question I think that the Lord really wants to ask. Is it worth it? If we could, tonight, I think if we could step outside of the natural realm tonight, through the curtain, through the veil, into the other world and begin to ask some of these people, was it worth it? I wonder if we could speak to the rich man that Lazarus laid at his gate, and realizing that the Lord said that he lived, he wore purple and he lived sumptuous. So, I mean, sumptuously, it meant that sumptuous, to my mind, has always got to do with food. And so it meant he had plenty, he rich, he had fine clothes. He lived a better life than most. He was rich and he had what he needed. And here's a beggar laying at his gates. And so if we had the opportunity to be able to step through and ask these two individuals about their life. Lazarus, we know that you were a beggar and you was full of sores. I think the dog come and licked your sores. I don't want dogs licking on me. Some people like dogs enough, but I don't like them in any sense, licking on me in any kind. But anyway, that's a personal preference of mine, but I don't want no dogs licking on me. And this guy had his dogs and coming and he was, and he's obviously the life here was a poor life. I mean, just obviously he could have said of his life, he could have said, I don't know why you get one life and I have to have this one. Other people have been able to do this or whatever, but this is where I'm at. This is what Lord's given me right here, and this is it. But I think if you would ask him about his life, Lazarus, was it worth it? I think he'd say, oh, yes. Yes, it was worth it. Yeah, I went through on this earth. It was nothing pleasurable, hardly. There was nothing there. But I'm going to tell you, the Lord blessed my soul. I lived in this kind of place, but God was always faithful to me. And then when I went out of here, the Lord took me up. And yes, it was good. Yes, I can say that it was worth it. It was worth the suffering time of this few days and full of trouble. It was worth that little vapor that appeareth a while. And in my case, it was always suffering. But it was worth it because I got something eternal. And you can turn around and say to the rich man, you had it good above most. You had everything. You lived fine. You lived really good. And you had purple, and you lived sumptuously, and you had your family, and you had all those things that we all want to seek after and have that. But if you said to him, was it worth it? Was the purple worth it? Was the sumptuous food worth it? Was all of those things really worth it? I think it would be a resounding, no, it wasn't worth it. Give me one drop of water. Give me just a little relief to this place. It's not worth it. It's not worth it to run this life like that. It's not worth it to give myself over to the world. It's not worth it because at the end of it, there's going to be a payday. It'll either be this in this life or there's going to be a big crash and burn in the next one. But there is always a consequence to the things that we do in this life. Oh, Judas, if we could open up the veil. Judas, you was there with the Lord. You saw the miracles. You experienced his words. You saw all of these things. You had all those things right there before you. You had, of all of the people, I think, that had a major failing, you was right there with the Lord Jesus. Was it worth 30 pieces? I mean, 30 pieces of silver? Was it really enough? Was it enough in this world? I think no. It wasn't worth it. It wasn't worth it. No, of course not. It's never worth it. I think of the time that there's a scripture that says, Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. Something like that. Esau have I hated, Jacob have I loved. Why? And it doesn't mean God hated him. He loved less. There was a place there with Jacob. And there's a place for Esau. But if you remember, he comes hungry. He's hungry and he says to his brother, give me some of that pottage or what was it? Lentils, beans. Give me some of that. Give me your birthright. You know, he should have said, no. Brother, listen, God gave me this. And there is nothing I'm going to do to jeopardize what the place that the Lord has put me in. No way. And he said, what good's a birthright if I starve to death? I don't think God's going to give you a birthright and starve you to death. Come on, come on. I think at the end, though, when he's there with his hands and he's, oh no, what happened? Jacob? Or Esau, what was only one bowl of beans, was it worth it? Was it worth you selling? You know, this was really looked at. To understand this, you have to really understand what the position he was in. God blessed him for a purpose and a place, and he threw it away. He threw it away. You know, there's always that those places, like, you know, when the children of Israel went to go across into the Canaan, and their unbelief kept them from crossing. God gave them to them. They diminished what God gave them Canaan. It didn't look like it to their natural eye, but by faith, God, give this to you. They despised it. I don't think they had feelings of hatred. They despised it and they devalued it, that they wouldn't give their life for what God had given them. God had given it to them and called them to it, and they wouldn't give their life to what God called them to. Neither would Esau. He wouldn't give his life for that. And it always cost. Was it worth it for one bowl of beans? No. It wasn't worth it for one bowl of beans. Oh, Achan, if we could pull back the curtain tonight and talk to Achan and say, Achan, you know, I mean, maybe it was a fine artwork. Maybe it was a great garment. Maybe they did a lot of, it was something that was coveted. Some gold or silver or some money and some things that he wasn't supposed to have, and he knew he wasn't supposed to do it, and he done it. Was it worth it? Achan, was it really worth it? For what ended up happening, was it worth it? If you remember, they ended up getting to the bottom of it after they had, he was responsible for 37 of his comrades being killed in a battle. Then they brought it to him, and the Lord discovers him. Now he's got this buried under his tent, and if I'm not mistaken, they said, take him, his tent, his children, take the whole lot of them, go out and stone them and burn them and take care of that. Was it worth it? Yeah, you got it. But was it worth it? I was just saying to my son today, one of the guys that we pitched horseshoes up home with, and knew he was a guy that drank a lot and smoked a lot. And anybody was talking about him. And I told him, my son, he died a couple years ago of lung cancer. And my thought was it worth it? I've never smoked, so if you have, you know more than I do. I've never had the thrill of that. I've never done it. I don't know what it's about. I never thought that smoke going into my lungs was a good thing. As a matter of fact, if I was around a brush fire and got a little smoke in there, it was always something I didn't think I'd want. I never did it, never puffed one. I did things in the world I shouldn't have done, but that wasn't one of them. I never did understand it. And I still don't understand with the information out there why somebody would want to do it, knowing they're going to pay for it sometime. Most likely, there's going to be a payday for that. Somewhere along the line, you're going to crash. Somewhere along the line, you're going to think you feel that way, but there's going to be the news come. There's going to be the time come that you've done something, and now this is payday, and you have to look and say, was it really worth it? Was the years of doing that and the fulfillment that's got out of it and all of it, was it worth it? I know we only, you know, that we're going to all die, and you can take that attitude. But is it really worth it to do those things in life? Is it really worth it to bring things into your home that's going to destroy your home? Is it really worth taking your own way when humbling yourself to answer? Is there really a payday for those things? You know, I find that there's an amazing thing in living for the Lord. It's called humility. And there is such a key in humility, just being able to say, that's me. That's me, of course. I'll take my place. I'm nothing special. I'm just a servant in this thing anyway. I have my faith to be able to admit my wrongs, to be able to humble yourself and do it right. What a value there is in that. I'm going to tell you, if anything, you could say, was it worth it? You humble yourself, and I'll tell you, it's worth it. Because God will bless the humble. He resisteth the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Another scripture I want to look at is in the 15th chapter. The 15th chapter of Luke. The 11th verse says, and he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. and divide unto the, and he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there was wasted, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave him. So here was a story in the scriptures of a young man full of vinegar, full of desire, full of hope, full of dreams. You know what it is like to be young. Got the whole world ahead of you. You're invincible. Nothing can happen to you at that point. You can do anything, go anywhere. It's like, I mean, you could. This is my vision, if you'll give me the liberty, was of a man that looked. Of course, the scripture doesn't say these things, but it goes along with it. Of a young man that standing on the in his father's kingdom, and off in the way, I imagine there's a thoroughfare there of some way, and the traveling caravans going to the city comes by, and he probably looks, and the father probably over the years, sometime he was just a youngster, said, no son, that's not good for you. That's stay away from that. You don't need the merchant. You don't need their wares. That'll drive you the wrong way, you know. There's things that we can get and do, but no, don't long for that. And maybe off in the long, far distance, the city lights in the night would be shining and glowing up the sky, and, you know, it's lit in those. And probably, maybe even he runs out to meet the caravans coming back from time to time, and the stories would be of what goes on in the cities and down there, and the young person is drawn towards those kind of things and longs for it in a certain part. He says, I know I have an inheritance that's coming from you. Give it. Give me that inheritance. I'm going to tell you something about this story. The father here is a good representative of the Lord. This is God here in this position, the father. And I'm going to tell you what he did. When the son comes and says, give me that which belongs to him, he gave it to him. So if you think that there's going to be some kind of an automatic check on you and you're not going to be able to do those kind of things, I hope that the Lord does send a lot of checks and places in your life to question what you're doing and those kind of things. But if you want to go, he'll give it to you. You can go. You can go see those kind of things. If you want to, you can go and do it. But I'm going to tell you, if you could ask this young man, there come a time that he did it. I don't think he ever envisioned the end of this story like it was. I don't think he ever envisioned this like this. I think he thought that he would probably go and be a success. He'll probably make the big time. He'll probably be a star at something. He'll probably be able to do something. He's got some money to invest. Maybe he's going to do something. He went with riotous living. He didn't control himself. He went and done these things. And of course, as time always does, time is so faithful. It just keeps going. It goes right on, and it takes the moments with it, and it takes us with it, and down it goes. And after a while, he found himself without any money. He found himself in the middle of a famine. He found himself without friends, without those that love him. He found him in a cold, cruel place without benefit of those around him that loved him and cared for him. And now, I wonder if he was to have said to him at that moment, was it worth it? He might have been like the young man I told you about. I don't know. That was so foreign to me. I haven't got an answer for it. But I think if he was to say, because of what he ended up doing, when he come to himself, I know what he would have said. Was it worth it? He would have said, no. It wasn't worth it. I thought that I would find so much fulfillment in those movies. I thought I'd find so much enjoyment in the racetrack. Or the games. I thought I would find so many good friends and exciting things. And I thought that, and it was there. There was some pleasure for sin in the season, and I enjoyed some of it, but it left me destitute. And it left me like this. Can't fly anymore, can't even walk anymore. It took it all away. But the scripture says that he come to himself. He come to himself. And he said, I know what I'll do. I'm going to go back. I'm going to say to my father, I've sinned before you. And I just be as one of your servants. Just make me a servant. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to go home. I wonder if you could ask him when he got home. Yeah, I love this because it says, you can read it there, but it says that the father saw him coming from a distance. That's because he was looking for him. He was longing for him. He was looking. And when he come home and he said, Father, I'm sinned and just want to be your servant. No, you're not a servant. You're my son. And you've come home. And if you could ask him, was it worth it to come home? Was it worth it to humble yourself? Was it worth it to come back? He would say, yes, it was worth it. Oh, it was worth it. The best decision I ever made was coming back home to Daddy. The best thing I'd ever done was to be able to come and get it right. Yeah, I've lost my inheritance forever, folks. Listen, I've lost it forever. I will always be marked as the one that went away, sure. But I come back home. And I got the ring and the robe now. I got it then. And it's the best decision that I ever made. But the worst decision I ever made was the day that I said to Father, give me that which was mine, because he did it. Don't blame the Father when he does it. You have the liberty of creation. You're free. You're free. If you want to go, you can go. But I want to say tonight, if you do, it won't be worth it. I've never seen it worth it. I've seen this thing play out for years, and I have never seen it worth it. It's not worth it. It crashes and burns. Come home to the Lord, and it'll be a good decision. There's another scripture I want to look at. Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Oh, I see. I think I want 36. 11 and 36. You're talking in this chapter about those faithful people. And it says in the 36th verse, and others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, bonds and imprisonments. Why would anybody choose such a thing as that? They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and torment. If you're here tonight and you got the idea that the gospel story is about a fancy big life here, you've been misled. God can bless, and he does. And we're thankful for what God has done in this day and time that we're in. It's all the Lord, and thank God for it. But that's not what it's about. It's never been what it's about. There has been people in this list that had to go through these kind of things. And if you was to ask them tonight, was it worth it to be sawn asunder? I don't want to be sawn asunder. Was it worth it to be faithful? Yes, it was worth it to be faithful. If you was to ask those that was tormented and cruel mockings, and if you'd ask them, that was humiliating. Yeah, it was humiliating. It was hard. All those kind of things. Was it worth it? Yes, it was worth it. It was worth it. It says that of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. There's one other thing that I wanted to pick up in that. It says that they might have a obtain. It says that they might obtain a better resurrection. That's in the 35th verse. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. That they wanted the testimony. Was it worth it to go through those things? Was it worth it to put yourself out into the forefront? Was it worth it to be ostracized by the world and the way the world is? Was it worth being an old fogey? Was it worth being, look, you guys are non-science people. You guys, yeah. Was it worth it to be looked at the way we're looked at? Was it worth it to, oh, you're all clothing. Look how y'all dress. Look at the way y'all live. All that. Was it worth it? Amen. Amen. It's not only worth it in the life to come, it's worth it now. is now there's blessings falls on it. It's wholesome. It's right. It's good. It keeps you a good mind of all the things that's going on in the world. We have pity. We love everybody. But come on. Look at the world and what they're doing now. Look at what young people are thinking and how they're responding and how they're acting. Really, really, we love them. We want them to be saved. I don't want them like that. You know, that was a drug thing, but that's also an emotional and a mental thing that's happening now. People are going through the same thing and finding themselves without drugs, finding themselves crashed emotionally, not knowing who they are, confused about all these things. You know, right there, the Lord died on the cross for that one right there to bring them back. You're going to be brought back. God's got a way. The message to the world is still Jesus loves you. It's still that the gospel works and you can be made different. Your heart can be made different. You can be renewed in your mind. You can be wholesome and right through Jesus. You haven't went too far. You haven't went too far. The blood of Jesus will reach you. You can go and you can be made whole again. And I'm going to tell you, when you fly this time, there's no crashing on it. You can fly and the music can play and it can be beautiful and you can fly on and keep flying. You don't have to crash. I want one other scripture I want to look. It's in 2 Corinthians, I think. Second Corinthians 4. Yeah, 4 and 17. Paul says here, I'll go to 16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but a moment, for a moment. Is it worth it, Paul? I don't know. He called some pretty heavy things light afflictions here. But he did it purposely on a comparison. It's a comparison. It's a light affliction. Don't get overwhelmed by this stuff that happened in the world. It only happened for a little while. It's not the big deal. God will keep you in all of it. This light affliction, it's only for a moment. It's only going to last for a little while. It's not going to be there long. Just a little bit. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us. It's working. It worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Paul, was the afflictions worth it? Yes. Was those things that you went through, was it worth it? Yes, it was worth it. It was absolutely worth it. Everything that God put into my life, everything that he challenged me with, every place that I had to pray, every place where he challenged me to come on higher, every place where I was humbled, every place where people looked at me, every place where all these places, I count them as joy. I count them as valuable. Was it worth it? Oh, yeah, it was worth it. I got better because of it. I got closer to the Lord because of it. It worked on me. It helped me. Was it worth it, Paul, to be shipwrecked? Stripes, could you imagine? Being whooped. 39 stripes, I think he said on his back. A number of times he got 39. I think he was a Roman. They couldn't some of the law about not giving him 40 or something, so they sure pushed it right to the line. It wasn't like, well, don't give him 40, so let's give him 10. No, you don't get 40, so you get 39, right? You're going to get it anyway. Oh, I ain't doing this anymore if it's that. It ain't worth it. Oh, no, it's worth it. I don't remember the exact year, but it's like 1953 or 1940-something. I remember seeing this. Somebody sent it to me one time. Sister Margaret Eck had kind of concluded a minister's meeting. And there was a subject on there, and it was a tough subject. And the final words was something like this. Heaven will be worth any cost. That was what the final saying of that meeting was, is that heaven will be worth it. If you've got to give up something in this life, Heaven will be worth it. God's got grace for us. God's got the ability for us to do that. I want to challenge you tonight with the things that you live life, the decisions that you make, the things that are going on in your life. Is it really worth it? Is that thing, that object, that material, that song, that thing, is it really worth it? And I'll let the Holy Ghost deal with it from that, but is it really worth it? You pray for me. I want to be faithful.